Well, I've got a treat for you today. I'm going to talk about angels for a little bit. Started doing some study in my, personal devotion. I'm seeking the Lord to understand better the events of the world and how to pray and asking the Lord for wisdom. And, you know, one of the things that we see in the Word of God pretty clear is the role of angels. And it appears that the role of angels is like administering the affairs of creation on behalf of God. Yeah, that's right. Think about it for a minute. When you see God act in the Bible, what do you see? You actually see, most of the time, angels going forth to carry out what God says. There are certain things that God acts directly in. He acts directly in Christ, of course. He acts directly in us being born again. He acts directly in us receiving the Holy Spirit from the Lord. Because we are His children. We are His sons and daughters through Christ by faith. And that means we're part of God's family. We're told we're part of God's family. And here's where it starts to get interesting. You see, angels are different. They're part of God's creation. They're celestial beings that God created. And in the creation of everything, you know, we've got the material world here, but then the spiritual world. But the spiritual world has substance to it. It's like, you know, angels have bodies. Jesus rose from the dead. He's got a body. He's a man. First of the new creation. And he has a body because he ate and drank and they touched him and, you know, he built a fire, he cooked fish, he did all this stuff. And then his body was beyond the material, and that's just like angels are too. So, what's interesting is we and our brothers and sisters with Christ, born again, become children of God in His family. Heirs with Christ, adopted sons and daughters of God, born in new creation, we're part of the very family of God. In a sense, yeah, I guess we could say like we're the aristocrats of heaven, of creation in that sense. At least that's what we're going to be. That's our inheritance. But angels are servants. They don't report to us, they report to God, but they're servants for God on our behalf, for our good. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Now, the Hebrews chapter 1 compares Christ and angels, because some people, you know, in the Greek culture are going, Jesus, well, he was an angel, come down to earth. Well, no, he wasn't. And he said about Jesus, right at the start here, in the last days, he spoke to us by his Son, appointed the heir of all things through whom he created the world. He reflects the glory of God, bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of his power, and made purification for sin, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God, and obtained a much superior to angel name. Because to what angel did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten thee, or I'll be a father and he'll be my son? Or again, when he brought the firstborn into the world, commanded all God's angels to worship him. So that's Jesus, you know, he's a son. All angels worship him. And he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And, it goes on and on about this. He never said to any angel, says in verse 14, sit at my right hand while I make your enemies to be a footstool for your feet. No, verse 14, are not the angels ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who will obtain salvation? That's you and me. The angels are the servants, and there seems to be a whole bunch of different kinds, and there are archangels, and we actually know the names of some of them, of course. There's Gabriel, who comes to announce things that God's doing, like he did to Mary and the angels and that sort of thing. There's Michael, who comes, who's the head of the warring angels. And there's actually a couple other angels we know about their names. Won't get into that. But it seems that angels are there, and they have a free will but they're not of the same class as human beings. And here's why. The human beings, we were created different by the Lord. And we lost our uniqueness in the fall of Adam. We come back to it in Christ, and we are meant to be children of God, sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. And you know what it says about the creation of man? That when God was creating everything that exists, you know, it goes through the days, and he created the animals, and he created the fish, and he created the birds, and he created this. But when he made man, and it says in Genesis 2, when he made the heaven and earth, there was no plant in the field yet. He planted the garden. The mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And he formed man from the dust of the ground. Okay, so that's what everybody sees now. I mean, I got a body. My body's flesh and bone, just like a dog or a goat or a orangutan. So the evolutionists say, oh, yeah, you're just the descendants of a monkey. Well, no, you're not looking far enough into this thing. Just because I'm flesh and blood doesn't tell me a thing. Because what God did that was different here is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being or a living soul. It's interesting here that all the other life, and I suppose even angelic life, we're not told how we created it, but all these other beings, animals and fish, everything we're told by Paul has its own order, is created. Animal, you got your beautiful pet dog, loves you so much. His or her life was created to exist by God. Created dogs to be dogs, and cats to be cats, and angels to be angels, and everything, you know, with, yes, personalities and the whole deal. But man, what's it say? He breathed his own spirit, his own breath. Breath and spirit are synonymous. Into the nostrils of Adam, who he'd made from the dust of the ground, and he became a living soul. That's his life. And that's how you're alive, and I'm alive. That's what Jesus redeemed afterwards. Jesus became one of us. And now he's exalted on high, ruling from the right hand of the Father. In that throne, O God, the angels serve him. And we're part, and it says in Ephesians, of him. The angels of God sent forth to serve the heirs of salvation. Now, have I had sort of encounters with angels? I perceived angels at work from time to time, but God hasn't revealed. You know, you have to have the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Spirit called discernment of spirits, open your eyes to the activity in the spiritual realm, and that happens with me quite a bit. But when I was first a Christian, I'd come out of the occult, and I would discern the activity of demons over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, until in the first couple of years of being a believer, I'd say, God, I don't want to know what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. I want to see what you're doing. Lord, will you please open my eyes to see what the activity of the Holy Spirit is? And you know, he started giving me gifts of the Spirit like that. I'll see, literally, in vision form, activity of the Holy Spirit in church services and what he does with people, and then go over and begin to prophesy and pray for people as I see the act. You know, I don't know how to explain that, except I see that the Holy Spirit's up to many, many times. That's how he directs the ministry I do. And but not much with angels. Occasionally, from time to time, aware of their working. Although there have been people who have said to me many times that they had seen an angel standing beside me as I was preaching. The angel's carrying out the ministry. He's there to serve the heirs of salvation. So he's serving me in preaching, or serving you in listening, or whatever. And that's how it works. But, you know, what else do we find out about angels? You look in the Old Testament. Oh, there's just so much about angels. But angels, you know, in being the administrators of the universe for God, also administrate in the affairs of men. And we are told by the preaching of Paul in the book of Acts that God set forth the nations and established their boundaries and the times and seasons of their inhabitation that people might hereafter feel for the Lord. That's why there's so much activity now to destroy borders. They're trying to destroy what God sets up. There's a spiritual war in back of it, don't you know? And but you find out in the book of Daniel, for instance, that there's various wars and things going on. Here's one in Daniel 4, and King Nebuchadnezzar is basically Israel became a prisoner under Babylon because of their sin. And that's going to be for 70 years. And Nebuchadnezzar just gets so full of himself and arrogant, and he thinks he's just great and as high as God and all that. And, well, he has his vision, and he sees this angel he calls a watcher. Huh. And that watchers actually show up a whole bunch of places in the Bible. They are watching over the affairs of men. And this one comes down and passes sentence on him, and Daniel says, this king saw a watcher, the Holy One, coming down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the grass. And so he became, you know, he lost his mind, became like an animal for a number of years until he returned to the Lord and began to exalt God. You know, you imagine that God has watchers, watching angels who are watching over the affairs of men, over the politics of the nation right now. Over Canada, U.S., and all the stuff's going on. When you watch the news and see all the garbage, remember, in back of the affairs of the nations and all this ranting and raving, there is something in the spirit going on that determines the course of things. And this King Nebuchadnezzar was not going to arrogantly throw what God had in mind for the people, his people, God's people, in captivity in Babylon. He was not going to get to throw it off course. Now, a bit later on, we read the stories of Daniel that he's realizing that there is 70 years of captivity prophesied by Jeremiah, and that's up, and he's beginning to pray and fast and seek God and confessing on behalf of the people. And he says, well, I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and my people's sin. The man Gabriel I'd seen in a vision before came to me at that time, and he said, I've come now to make known to you wisdom and understanding, and I've come to tell you what's going to happen. And he begins to reveal the end times and the restoration of Israel and Jerusalem and wars and all this various stuff that's going to happen. Another place we find out Michael, another one of the angels, the warring angels, was having to come because the prince of Persia resisted, or the demonic power, the angelic fallen angel power that was ruling over the dark kingdom of Persia, Iran, was fighting to stop this. And so there was a bit of a battle, and Michael restrained him, and Gabriel got there to give the message, you know, and you go, oh my goodness, this is all going on in back of the politics. Ha, Lord, give us wisdom. These days, you can see plainly from the news that devilish, demonic attempts to tear down the righteous ways of God in our nation, you know, and we know also one third of the angels rebelled following Satan and fell. We know when we read the stories of Noah in Genesis that some of these angels came down and mated with women, forbidden, and they produced the giants of old. It says that in the book of Genesis, that this is where the old stories that we're seeing in the movies all the time now of these mighty heroes, descendants of the gods, and all that junk that's coming out in the movies, they're getting that idea from the old Greek stories. But more than that, it goes back right to the pre-flood days and the stories that have been brought to us through some of the prophetic books that aren't in the Bible. And you know what? If you ever read any of those, some of them are fantastical, but very revealing of the state of things before the flood and why God brought the flood. Angels, they are mighty, they are powerful they are sent forth to serve the heirs of salvation. Remember the one story, and I'll close on this, I think it was Elijah. And the army of the enemy had surrounded the city, because Elijah was always getting revelation of what was happening in the plot of the enemy king and telling the king of Israel what the enemy be up to and where he'd be and how he'd going to be trying to attack, and he'd be ready. So the enemy decides, all right, we're going to get Elijah. We're going to get him. They surround the city where he is, and God, the Lord, reopens the eyes of Elijah's servant, who says, oh Lord, what are we going to do? I don't have this in front of me, but what happens is, when God opens his eyes, he sees the armies of heaven surrounding this puny little 100,000-person army of the enemy. Moab, I think it was. And so as it was, they were all blinded. They could not discern where anything was, where Elijah was. He told the king, you know, feed them and send them back home. God had mercy on them. Because, you know, one angel could wipe them out, right? Let alone the army of the angels. Listen, the army of God is at work and at the world right now. You're seeing distilled down to the human level the fightings and saber rattlings of the heavenlies. What's going on with globalism, censorship, the left, the right, the wickedness arising, trying to destroy the ways of God in the earth, is all part of the warfare. I'll tell you what, you just get to the Lord and believe and walk with God. The angels have been sent forth to serve the heirs of salvation. You got to believe God can put it right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we trust in the Lord and say, Lord, send forth your angels in Jesus' name to do your work. And will he preserve God's people? Well, I'm just closing the story that happened last September when Antigua was having that mighty hurricane bear down on, direct hit, going to absolutely smash and wipe the island out. And I had just been there teaching them how to pray for the nation. And as I'm praying here at the radio station, suddenly from in my spirit comes this prayer, which I hadn't premeditated at all. Lord, I ask you to put your angels around Antigua and block the winds. And we know, if you've been listening to Spirit FM, the result of that was, even though they went right through the middle of the hurricane, they did not get the hurricane winds. How is that possible? The angels blocked the winds. Do you understand that this kingdom we're in, the kingdom of God, is far bigger than anything we can see? We've got to be friends of the Lord and spend time with him and pray and seek his face and turn to him and away from the TV set and get his wisdom and power and love in these end days that we live in. I pray, Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, for those listening to me right now, they be strengthened in wisdom and spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, of Christ, just like Paul prayed into the Ephesians. And Heavenly Father, you'd open our understanding and our eyes to the hugeness of what you do and the administration of your heavenly beings over your creation. In Jesus' name, amen.